I'm here for the audition for Star Wars Episode 7.
Wait, what's that?
Did somebody say auditioning for Star Wars? Star Wars Episode 7? I think that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, this is the Star Wars Report Podcast, Episode 112. Now wait, Riley, isn't that the Iron Man 3 end credits music? Why, yes it is! Just rocking out here. Hey, it's all under Disney now, so there you go. Oh my goodness, it's kind of like the Marvel score meets The Incredibles. That's what I like so much about it. Folks, that's right. You're here for the one and only place to not just talk about Marvel and not just talk about Disney, but more specifically to talk about Star Wars. And what's on everyone's mind? Don't lie to yourself. It's Star Wars Episode 7. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton, founder and chief executive fun haver, as I've said many times before, of the Star Wars Report and Star Wars Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to this particular episode 112, as we truck on through the end of 2013 and jump into the year of Rebels. A mere 2 months away, we will be in the very same year that Star Wars Rebels will be released. So much to talk about this week, so thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for joining me. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. How's it going, man?
I'm good, glad, and happy to be here.
Yeah, cool.
The other founder, the executive of chaos and order, if you will.
Exactly. Fair enough. You carry the title. I'll tell you what. I was. We watched Thor over this past weekend. I know it came out last week, but we watched Thor this past weekend, and it was a good time. And so that had me pulling up all the different Marvel soundtracks from the Phase 2 films, you know, starting with Iron Man 3. And I'll tell you what, those are some good soundtracks. It's Brian Tyler who does the music to it.
They're fun.
And in doing so, I'd forgotten that Disney has, or Marvel 1, I guess Marvel 1 and the same, they created a Marvel Studios fanfare, a la like the 20th Century Fox Star Wars fanfare, which I just thought, I remember watching it like, oh, this is different. And then it occurred to me when listening to the soundtrack on Spotify that I wonder if there's a Lucasfilm fanfare, not a 20th Century Fox fanfare, a Lucasfilm fanfare that's going to, like, a la the Marvel Studios fanfare. How cool would that be?
You know what I always associated to that was the THX little Marie in the beginning of all of them. It was like, okay, there's your Lucasfilm moment.
Well, that's true, although, but again, like the 20th Century Fox theme, that appears in more than just Lucasfilm movies. Whereas,
well, yeah, the one that stood out the most though was when the Clone Wars came out in theaters.
That's true.
And they did it, and they had all the Rex voices. They're on me. They're covering me. I need help.
That was cool.
Reinforcements. Oh man, when that happened, I had chills.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard anyone on the crew of the Clone Wars talk about that, and that was awesome. I really enjoyed that part of it.
I would love to see on all of them. I mean, even throw in the Rex screaming, or just, you know, take whatever war moment, because it's Star Wars, and kind of throw that in there, you know, like how TV shows will give you like a peek of what's going to happen that season in the opening credits, and then like as you watch the episode, you're like, oh, that's that scene.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would be entirely for, although it makes me, if you guys are curious what I'm talking about, I think it bears listening. Here it is. Fascinating. I'll tell you what, it's got a very, very superhero flair to it. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's not waste any time, Mark. Where there's a lot of news that's been coming out this week, and we skipped a week last week, unfortunately, because this is the time of year. It's beginning to look a lot like finals. Da-da-da-dun. Deadlines everywhere.
Poor Riley.
Our professors went our presentation. And Palpatine's
Palpatine.
And papers due every day. It's that time of year, folks. But fear not, we are back this week. A lot of news is broken. And the first piece of news, I'm basing this week's show notes shamelessly off of comingsoon.net's weekly Star Wars roundups. Is it because I'm lazy? Possibly. Is it because it's a bunch of very fantastic, you know, the highlights of the Star Wars news from the week in the best place that you could get it in one roundup? Possibly.
Maybe because their boffins are paid and ours are working exactly under the threat of a Death Star?
Yeah, there ain't no competing with comingsoon.net, let me tell you. Unless you're Jedi News, who, by the way, much more thorough in their weekly Star Wars news.
And good accents.
Exactly. In fact, I've been in communication with the guys. We're hoping to schedule an interview with them at some point when we're able to work out schedules. But they just launched a new British-themed Star Wars fan podcast with the Rebel Force Radio guys called Radio 1138. And actually, I've listened to part of the first episode. It's very good. Very good. But I digress. I digress, folks. It's interesting how, as Star Wars fans, for the past year, well, until the last couple weeks, for the past year, there's constantly a sense of lack of information, which I think led to a certain amount of nervousness within the fan community, just because we want news so much. We really, really wanted casting news or release date news, and just hearing nothing for that long period of time is, I think, lent to just the sheer firestorm of casting rumors and, you know, production rumors and delays and just so many rumors surrounding this film. Just everywhere, every week, somebody else was going to be cast in Episode 7, or every week this guy's gonna, you know, or even like news stories about somebody not being in Episode 7. That's how bad it got.
Well, I still stand by my story. I will not be cast in Episode 7. So, hey, did you notice, though, that StarWars.com has a new little field there for Star Wars Episode 7
news? I did.
I did. Get their roundup.
And right under that field, it's like Mark, it's like we've done this for years together, because that leads perfectly. It leads perfectly into what I want to talk about first, which is not even on the news roundup. Actually, it might be. I haven't been able to see the whole thing. No, it's not, to my knowledge. Is that they have a release date. We have a release date for Star Wars Episode 7. Like,
now,
I feel like I should cue the Marvel fanfare again. Really? We have a release date! Whee! Okay, sorry.
I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I will ignite my own lightsaber. You will note, though, last episode, I was calling this, man. I was throwing down the gauntlet of reasons why December would be the why. And
you were.
I took to my sister as soon as the news broke, and I'm like, I was right. And then I took to my mom, and I'm like, tell my sister I was right.
And she calls your sister, and she's like, you know what? At some point,
they look at me like I'm some total just crackhead. They're like, I was really jumping up and down, fist pumping in the air, swinging. I'm right. I'm never right. Yeah, I mean, I was totally into the moment. And they're like, what are you talking about? You guys just got to just brace with me here. Okay, this is one of my moments. We don't have many of them. When we have them, we got to just commit to it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Mark, you're fading out a little bit. I'm not sure if it's the distance of the microphone or the connection, but I just wanted to give you that heads up. But yes, we have a release date. December 18th, 2015. Stop the presses. It's happening, folks. And like I say, now we have, I think, a real sense of, there's a sense of finality that this is actually happening now. So you predicted it, Mark, but what did you think of it? What do you think of the December 18th release date?
I really hope that they decide to make this annual. I know that's going to drive a lot of people nuts, but I'm ready for a Star Wars holiday tradition. I mean, you know, the big thing for me, my family always goes and sees a movie every Christmas. You know, usually it's a Lord of the Rings flick. Just something we always go and do. And what perfect time. I mean, Lord of the Rings is going to drop out. The last Hobbit movie is going to go out right before 2015. And then, boom, here comes Star Wars, the Star Wars March. I mean, and if they do it every year and if they always put it that way, there's your annual tradition right there. Not only are you going to have family, you're going to have friends, because Star Wars is a community. You go there and that feeling. Okay, when I went to episode 3, I didn't take my kids. You know, they were too young at the time. But now they're old enough that I'll be able to take them. And I am so looking forward to sharing that moment when you know, you go to a little town like Grants Pass and all of a sudden all these Star Wars fans are coming out of the woodwork. And you're like, I didn't know any of you guys were even here. Where you been? You know, that's the moment that is going to be fun, to be able to share that with your family. And if they do that every year, that'd be just so much fun.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind. Here's what I could see is that previously, Star Wars films, it would be 3 years between the release. That was the case in the original trilogy, and that was also the case in the prequels. So, and it'd be interesting. I think that Disney's capable of pushing them out faster. However, what I could see happening is an 18-month release schedule, so that the quote-unquote flagship films are released every 3 years, but then there's a film between them that is kind of like a tentpole spinoff film of sorts. You know, the rumored Boba Fett film or the rumored Han Solo or Yoda backstory film. That's what I could see the release schedule being. That, or it's every other year. Because we know the next Star Wars film, from what I've heard, is going to be released in 2016 after... released in 2016, you know, 1 year.
Interesting if they decided to take the spinoffs in a direction where, you know, like from an outside of the universe standpoint, like, okay, we got the Yoda sequel, you know, whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah.
But we got that one, we got the Han Solo and the Boba Fett. But what if after the fact, you know, they're like, well, we're going to make them standalones. Well, let's actually make them trilogies, you know, and each one is its own little era in the timeline, and then they tell their own little trilogy that's set in and of themselves, which also can fit into the greater story. But you could then, you know, kind of in a sense have these little universes spin out of these sagas. You know, well, this saga over here deals with Boba Fett. It's the ongoing tales of Boba Fett. And this one's Han Solo. And over here we got Yoda. And over here we've got General Kraken, the new guy that we just brought in episode 7. I mean, I could see him doing something like that with origin stories and similar, you know, and then just kind of fleshing out a little bit and going a little direction, not keeping them all one-offs. But you could make it where they are all one-offs, where you could sit down and watch each one, but at the same time, it tells an overarching story as well. I mean, that'd be cool.
I'd go for that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. And you know what? It's interesting, as we go through speculation, we don't have to be quite as blind with our speculation as we were in the past, because that's not the only big news that's broken in the last 2 weeks, and that is... there's a worldwide search, and ladies and gentlemen, I mean worldwide search, for two major roles in the next Star Wars film. Now, there's a casting call that I guess leaked out might be a little bit of an overstatement. That might be a little bit of hyperbole. It didn't really leak out. It made its way out. There's an open casting call for two roles in a, quote, major Disney film. Now, I'm going to shoot a link to you in the chat while we talk, Mark. There was everyone was like, this has got to be Star Wars. And then even a Disney exec linked to it saying it was a Star Wars casting call. And then eventually they made a website for it where people could do online applications. And if you click on that link, Mark, you can see they're not exactly trying to disguise the fact that this is indeed a Star Wars film.
Yeah, Star Wars pops right up.
If you go to opencastingcall2013.com, bam! Right there in bright silver Star Wars font is worldwide search for two major roles in Star Wars. Submit here before December 3rd. A couple things about this. We have character descriptions and input names. Now, description number one is the character of Rachel. Rachel Matheson, if you're watching the... NBC series, what's it called? Lights Out. I want to call it Lights Out. Oh, no, it's Revolution. I knew I'd get it. And then also Thomas. Now, we'll go through the descriptions in just a moment, but I think it's interesting to say how, I don't know if they're being coy at first, but in the final shakeout, this is about as obvious as you can get. And it makes, I think it makes an interesting statement about where they are in the casting process. Because you know how many, we know that tons of actors have read for Star Wars Episode 7. So it's kind of like that they have like a pool of actors that they're pulling on. Remember the casting calls from earlier in the summer where it was like inside Hollywood casting calls and they had some descriptions there?
Yeah, I remember rumors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But was anything ever actually confirmed?
Yeah. It was confirmed by Lucasfilm that one of those casting call sheets was legitimate. But I mean, the casting call sheet really literally just kind of gave names and ages. Mm-hmm. That was about it. And I can't even remember all the names and ages other than a lot of them were especially fit. No exception here. First description is Rachel. And here's the description we have. She was quite young when she lost her parents with no other family. She was forced to make her way alone in a tough, dangerous town. Now 17, she has become street smart and strong, and she is able to take care of herself using humor and guts to get by. You got a lot of guts coming here after what you pulled. All right, always a survivor, never a victim. She remains hopeful that she can move away from this harsh existence for a better life. She's always thinking of what she can do to move ahead. Can I marry Rachel? I hereby propose on air to Rachel. She sounds like an awesome girl. Rachel's...
Do you think that these are actual characters, or do you think this is just like, you know... similes where you know we got similar.
Here's the thing, like,
because I just can't see a Rachel and a Thomas running around in Star Wars.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think everyone's very accurately speculated, and I think come to the correct conclusion that Rachel and Thomas are both placeholder names. Like, those aren't the actual names of the characters. They're not going to say Jaina.
I mean, like, I could see like a version of like Thomas, you know, drop the H or something, you know. I mean, I don't know. Just those names.
I'm pretty sure.
Luke and Leia are pretty common names, but at the same time, like, I've just come to associate them with awesomeness.
Yeah, I mean, Luke is. I mean, if you're going with the biblical reference, Luke is a biblical name. Thomas is a biblical name. There you go. I mean, I could see that. But yeah.
Mark,
and of course, the age they're looking. And what they're looking for is a young woman, 17 to 18 years old, must be beautiful, smart, and athletic, open to all ethnicities, and must be over 16. Cool. I'll tell you what. I think we obviously have I don't even think that the lost your parents and has no family stuff is real. I don't think there's any way on earth that Lucasfilm would put this out having that be accurate. Like, could she be a rebellious 16-year-old, or could these be the traits of her? Yes, but will she
just be side characters? I mean, that's the beauty of this, is this could be a character so off-screen that they're looking for how you play the part.
Well, I would say that, but like right here on the site, like at the top, when they say two major roles, and I take them at their word when they say major roles. Now, here's the interesting thing. This may not even be Episode 7. Maybe they've gone through the casting for Episode 7 already, and this is for one of the spinoff films with original characters. You know, I mean, again, it's very hard to say for sure.
It's like a smart way to go about it. Like, okay, you throw up these placeholder parts, you know, and you give a description that's generic enough that with all the people turning it in, they're going to give you ideas of how they can play other characters. And all you have to do is just give two of the people that are applying here lead roles, and you fulfilled your dream or what you've said you're going to do. And yet you've been able to also cultivate all these people that are willing to, you know, be cast members, and you've got the way their voice sounds, the way their mannerism of voice comes across. You know, if it's a full video, you've got their body and the way they move, things like that. And boom, there's half of your work done just sitting there waiting for someone to go through it and go, hey, this guy be a great red shirt number 12.
I guess, yeah, you could land some minor roles. And I'll tell you what, one of the guys, and they've been reporting, these have already happened in, I believe, Detroit, I know Chicago, and I know London, and I know that there are other cities that they're going to hold these open casting calls. And like one of the guys who, and that's what I played at the beginning, was this BBC video. These are folks waiting in London, out in the cold, wet rain, shivering in their overcoats and umbrellas. And I'm like, this is the stuff that, this is the kind of stuff we're hearing.
I'm here for the audition for Star Wars Episode 7.
Trying to audition so that I become an actress and finally fulfill my lifelong dream.
So you can see, like, there's a whole lot. It's like Celebration. It's like a Star Wars Celebration only casting.
We got here really early and thought the queue was going to be even bigger, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Been here since 7 o'clock. So, yeah, long time. I'm very cold.
Since about, was it 7:45? It's been a long time.
Like, by the time they get, poor folks, by the time they get into the casting, they're going to look like ghosts. They'll cast them all as Force ghosts.
I'm here to play the part of a Chiss.
Exactly.
You know, that's one thing about the December release date, though, that the downside is the camping in line is going to be a lot colder in a lot of places.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on.
You know, I have to wonder, though, you know, the one lady was talking about how she's just there to get a role and break into acting. It's like, could you imagine, like, the targeting brackets of all those people that were in line waiting, and they were just, you know, huge diehard Star Wars fans, and they find out that somebody that has never even seen Star Wars got cast. Like, what? Really? You couldn't find somebody who has the love?
Yeah. I mean, and that's very well what might happen, because they don't really care about fandom, although I think it's largely Star Wars fans who are showing up to these things. Because if you hear about this, you're probably a Star Wars fan.
Well, that's got to be the funny part, though. Imagine if you are that one person. You're, like, standing there going, what is with these people? You know, you have, like, somewhat of an idea, but not quite. You're there. You just want the role. You're like, I'm going to
who are these people?
Like, you're like, oh, man, I got this down. And then you get in there, and you're like, wait, they're doing what? They're back white flips? What?
Well, and, like, each run-through is evidently, like, 30 seconds long. It's just essentially meet and greet. They don't even... you know, that, you know, need great details or anything. Okay, let's touch on the role of Thomas. He says, Thomas has grown up without a father's influence, without a model of being a man. He doesn't have the strongest sense of himself. Despite this, he is smart, capable of showing courage when it is needed. He can appreciate the absurdities in life and understands that you can't take life too serious.
I just want to say right now, you don't need to have a father figure to have a sense of yourself. Mothers can do a good job.
Do, 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 do. Wait, I should have had my stupid thing all ready to go. Here we go. There we go. That's a little bit.
Well, you did have that reachable.
I was a little late on the punch there. I'll be faster next time. Yeah, so Thomas, I mean, and what they're looking for Thomas is, let's see, young man, 19 to 23 years old. Okay, check. Handsome? I'd say so. Okay, I mean...
Riley Blanton pose. It's signature.
I mean, who could resist my pose? I'm telling you. The smart, I think I've got that down. At least
yeah, your smile says intelligence.
Well, and I'm doing well at the university. I'm doing well in college right now, so I'm smart and athletic. I do enjoy sports, and I am over 18. Mark, what am I doing here?
All it's missing is Riley Blanton. Please, come and apply. We need you now.
If they did one of these things in Atlanta, dude, I would totally go. And I wouldn't, I mean, with absolutely no intention, expectation, or desire to be cast. Not that I would tell them that. But just to go in and just see what's going on and try to wring some sort of information out. I'm sure I couldn't, but I would give it a shot. I would do it. I'm here to pledge. If they do an audition in Atlanta, which I don't think they are, but if they did, I would be there. I'd be there faster than the Millennium Falcon made the Kessel Run. Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying. Geek out loud. All right. There it is. We have... So... I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing... I do think that these are both for Star Wars Episode 7. I don't think that they're for a spinoff film, even though I did pose that theory earlier. And, you know, I could see a very... The fact that they are open to all ethnicities for the woman, I think, verifies that it's not offspring... At least the female is not offspring of Han Solo and Leia. Thomas, I could see as being offspring of some kind of the big three... But even still, I don't think either of these characters are offspring of any kind of any Skywalkers or Solos.
Oh, come on now. Thomas Skywalker. Why is your daddy not around? Because he went off and he wanted to found the Jedi. My daddy liked the Jedi more than me. I have daddy issues. I don't like Jedi either. I mean, come on. This could be brutal. Look at me like, son, I'm sorry. It'd be like Wolverine. Like, sorry, Daken. I wish I was there for you, son.
Oh, my goodness. And of course, with all this stuff going on, there's been a lot of great different roundups from actors who are, you know, Star Wars actors who did this very process to get into the original trilogy. I mean, this is exactly what they did to find Luke and Leia, and they did open casting calls, and that's how they got them cast. And I'm not opposed to that at all. I think it's a good sign that they're able to be very open to this process, because after the umpteenth rumor of Ryan Gosling being, you know, after the umpteenth rumor of Ryan Gosling being, you know, Luke Skywalker's son, or Zac Efron being in it. Remember the Zac Efron rumors?
Go and watch 17 again. Zac Efron can wield a lightsaber pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. So
look at it from the fandom side of things, though. Even if you didn't get cast, you went down there, you experienced a moment in Star Wars fandom.
A moment in Star Wars history.
That's right. Exactly. You were there. You were on the trenches. You were on the front lines. You knew exactly what was going down. You got to experience it all. That is something that's never going to get taken from you. That's something that me and Riley aren't going to get to experience unless it happens in Atlanta for him.
Yeah.
And nowhere near me, because I won't be able to drive unless it's a Grants Pass. That ain't happening.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Well, and then I'll tell you what. If you're listening to this and check opencastingcall2013.com, and go there and send in an online application. I'm this close to sending in an online application just for the heck of it. In fact, I feel like we should do an experiment right now.
You want to send one now? I'll be Rachel. And I'll be able to officially say I was not cast in episode 7. Mary Herleman was.
So I'm just curious. So if I select Thomas, North America, record your video following the instructions included here. So I have to record a video. I wonder what kind of instructions they include. All right, so here we go.
It's two rounds.
Oh, I have to enter my email address. All right, Star Wars Report.
They want the key to your GPS.
gmail.com. There we go. Email address entered. All right, so please check your email inbox. Well, I mean, I can do that. So while I check my email inbox, I want to tell you guys about some of my favorite folks in the entire Star Wars collecting industry. And it is an industry, ladies and gentlemen. And those are the fine folks over at Big Bad Toy Store. Today, as we record this, it's too late. It's too late, folks. It's too late to get, what was it? It was a $6 to $7 Iron Man figure that they were going on a 24-hour sale. Now, you can't get those kind of deals anywhere else. It's Big Bad Toy Store where you want to go for all of your Star Wars collecting needs. And we thank them for sponsoring this particular episode of the Star Wars Report. And I'll tell you what, if you want to head over there, get some great holiday deals for the Star Wars fans on your Christmas list, head over to starwarsreport.com/toys, and that'll ferry you safely to the harbor of awesomeness that is BigBadToyStore.com. And we thank them again for their support. Now, you got any big Star Wars presents to purchase or to receive this Christmas, Mark?
Well, I hope to get the Bounty Hunter's Code. That would be a good one, but that's not a toy. Oh, but to get the Force Effects Episode 3/Episode 4, Luke Skywalker / Anakin Skywalker Blade. Oh, gosh, I need that. I need it bad.
I'll tell you what. I would go for that in a heartbeat. Okay. I'm sorry. I was quickly going into my email and receiving this Cast It Talent PDF file. All right, here we go. Audition instruction and tips. Important. Please read carefully. Please note, current Cast It Talent members should log in to submit their audition. Well, I'm not a current. I've got to get started on this audition process. And before I start the audition, you have to find a quiet room where there's no background noise. Oh, goodness. They watermarked, I just noticed, they watermarked the email. That's awesome. So I can't, like, share it for some reason. Of course, awesome. Then again, I can read it on my podcast, so. Here you go. There's always that.
Aha, the power of technology.
Now, they have pretty detailed recording and instruction and submission, you know, instructions, but. You have to read the script carefully, that sort of thing.
Terrorists, and they just wipe out your internet.
Now, ideally, the wall behind you should be white or blue. Wow, they have, like, really detailed instructions. They want chest-up frame, so I guess they don't care how tall you are. They only care about chest-up. That's the only part that they care about. All right. Now, I think I've heard these on the internet before, so I don't think these are even secret, but here we go. Here's the script that they have, the temp script. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but, like, here we go. Thomas, kidding. Can't you go any fat? All right, so here's the deal, Mark. What I need to do is go to my downloads folder and send you. So you said you wanted to play Rachel. Well, here we go. I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to send you a copy of the instructions, and let me know if you can see these in Skype. I know this is really, really compelling radio, but I promise you guys, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, it got even more compelling when you sent the file to me and my Dinosaur Cobra computer.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll jump straight to the thing. I'll have to, Mark, I will have to reenact both roles, much to my chagrin. If only we had these kinds of ideas beforehand instead of on air, where we could do a dramatic reading.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, but it does look like it is saving. So, but I will go ahead and begin. This is Masterpiece Theater, Star Wars Episode 7 Audition, Riley Blanton Edition. Thomas.
Can't you go any faster? Shut up and eat your apple!
He enjoyed that, but every step was sheer agony on the leg.
There's a barn a little further up the road!
Don't you love my Rachel voice? In barn, late day.
Rachel, you need rest. Sorry. I know it's... I'm fine. I'm just not a big fan of blood.
Got a beater!
You know, for such a tough girl, you're kind of squeamish.
And scene. Okay. Very, 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 very... Well, kind of gross, actually. On second thought, I'm totally not auditioning for this.
I don't know. I think it's comic gold.
They go on to say things like family stick together, right? So maybe they are family. Who knows? All right, I digress, and I became ever so slightly distracted there. I apologize, folks. That was a little bit of self-indulgence on my part, but I was just too curious as to what would be the case there. But we do have some fan voicemail feedback, and let's jump to this voicemail from Rob. Let's take a listen.
Hey, what's going on? I am calling from North Hollywood. My name is Rob MC, and I just wanted to say I enjoy the show. Wanted to suggest maybe a topic. Maybe you guys could have a show where you guys talk about Star Wars tattoos and just artwork related to Star Wars. I really like your Episode 7 speculation show, and another idea would be, like, if you guys had a show, like, maybe if J.J. Abrams wasn't directing, or maybe Steven Spielberg or, you know, Josh Whedon or Quentin Tarantino, like, what would their takes on Star Wars be, which would be kind of interesting. But keep up the good work, guys. Peace.
Oh, man. Tarantino would have to do a thriller. Oh, that'd be so awesome to have it done in, like, the Pulp Fiction style of Reservoir Dogs kind of thing, where the ending's at the beginning and you're like, what's going on?
I can only tackle that briefly, is that I have no knowledge of Star Wars tattoo. Do you have, a Star Wars tattoo, do you not, Mark?
No, my roommate does.
Okay.
He's got yin yang with the Imperial and Rebel crest. I've looked at a bunch that I've wanted to do, but alas, when it comes to needles, we have issues. The closest we got was pierced nipples, and that was
I sympathize. I mean, I could never go even close that far. No,
I thought that I would get me over it, but after that, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I don't think I could sit still for the tattoo. I want to do it. I just know that to do a tattoo, it's such a permanent thing on your body. And I know myself when it comes to being stabbed with things, or when I was a little kid, if I'd get a splinter, my mom would come at me with a needle to scrape it out.
And
so, yeah, I've got this like jerking, you know, reaction when needles get near me. And so I'm afraid like they're going to go, and I'm going to go, jump in the chair and just have this like line, you know, Yoda will be half done and his ear will just come down my arm or something.
And it's funny because, and you wanted to talk about art, we won't have time to dedicate the whole show to it, but Star Wars art is something that I'm not as into as I'd like to be because there's so many great artists out there. But I'll tell you one thing, actually just today, or don't tell Bethany, this is me betting on the fact that she doesn't listen to this episode. She might. But I'm going to give it away anyway. I purchased a t-shirt for myself and her matching that were you've probably seen this before. There's this really great illustration done in the Bill Watterson, Calvin and Hobbes style of a Calvin-looking Han Solo and a Chewie-looking Hobbes sitting in a very wagon-esque Millennium Falcon. I love that picture. And so I purchased that on T-Furry. They had that on one of their daily sales today. In fact, it might still be up, Mark, if that's the kind of thing. I had like $11. It was great. So I was like, oh, I can't resist that. That's too good. Too good. So, I mean, I am interested. I do love Star Wars art. And I think that there is a great place for the art side of the community. In fact, I find the art side of Star Wars fandom, the artistic side, far more compelling than the collecting side, which I know is a much bigger presence just in terms of volume and number. But still, I really like... I'm sorry?
I've looked up at pinup arts and stuff because that was kind of, you know, some of the things I've thought about in the past. There was a picture of Jaina Solo. I believe I shared it even on her page where she's like kind of, you know, pinup style pose where she's leaning up against one of the Gonk droids, you know, in her mechanic outfit. Kind of very similar to the Kirishibo or whatever, however you say it, girls version that they have of how she's wearing her armor and stuff. And there was another one where I think it was Murda Gev, or just some random girl wearing Boba Fett's armor. But again, you know, sometimes there's some artists that get really into the detail and you're just like, wow, this looks like this could have been commissioned for like $200, you know, just insane. Or you get those ones where the people go all out with the X-Wing battles and stuff and just give you something that looks like it could be coming right off of Dark Horse. Like, whoa, dude, that is sick.
Yeah. I mean, between fan art and official art, it's just a really amazing realm of the Star Wars community. And I'll tell you what, that's a good topic to tackle at some point. I do hope to do that. But we don't have time for this episode to do all of that. But I'll tell you what, I think, unfortunately, that's going to have to bring this episode of the Star Wars Report to a close. But I do want to thank our sponsor once again. It's Big Bad Toy Store, StarWarsReport.com/toys for sponsoring this particular episode. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Stay tuned and we'll give you some of our contact info and parting words in just a moment. I figure if we had to start with, you know, Marvel music, why not end with it? I'll tell you what, Brian Tyler's just doing amazing work with Marvel. I would not at all be opposed to him. After listening to the Thor Dark World soundtrack and the Iron Man 3 soundtrack, I would not be opposed to him doing the Star Wars score at all. Although I am glad that our dear John Williams is doing it. That does it for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you listeners. And hey, if there's one thing, if you've gotten any value or entertainment out of this particular episode of the Star Wars Report or any in the past, I do kindly ask you to leave us an iTunes review. And you can do so by going to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. And that's the super straightforward and easy way to be able to just leave us a review or rating. Either way, we appreciate them. Good, positive, or even better are all accepted. No, seriously, we accept any iTunes reviews, and we do appreciate you guys for doing that. Also, contact us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. There, you can email us your thoughts on all of the news that's been breaking most recently. And there's been a lot of it, so I would love to hear from you guys. Also, you can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. It's facebook.com and twitter.com/StarWarsReport, both ways, both times. Join almost 6,000 folks with us on Twitter, and the rapidly ever-growing expansion of our Facebook community. I'm always posting. I've been scheduling up some photos using the Facebook pages manager. Some really fun, really cool, you know, behind-the-scenes photos and old vintage Star Wars photos, and those are going up. And I'm having a lot of fun seeing folks enjoy those. That's always cool. And, of course, any and all information that you want to know about this program, head over to StarWarsReport.com, and there you will be able to find any and all of it. Anything you would ever want, including our voicemail feedback hotline and much more. Contact info is over at StarWarsReport.com. If you're new to the program, check some of our best episodes and find the rest of the fine podcast over at StarWarsReport.com and our family of shows over at StarWarsReport.com/about-us. And there's one other thing I'd like you guys to do. Listen to the remainder of the Iron Man 3 end credits, because they're awesome. And we will join you guys next week here on the Star Wars Report podcast. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
And another one is in the books.